Tonight we're continuing our study of spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. And tonight we're looking at lesson number 12, which is on the discipline of learning. And just as a reminder, really the reason that we're doing this study and one of the reasons that I chose to do it with you is that our ultimate goal as Christians is to be like Jesus. When they first used the term Christian, we read about that in the book of Acts. And originally, it was a label that was put on believers in the Lord by the world, by unbelievers. It was kind of I think the world meant it as a derogatory term. But for those of us who are followers of Christ, we should take it as a compliment because it means something to the effect of little Christs. Or little Christ imitators. And that's exactly what we want to be. We want to be imitators, followers of the Lord Jesus. So as believers in the Lord, as disciples of the Lord, that's our ultimate goal, is to be godly, to be Christ-like. And some of these disciplines, these practices that we've been talking about, are really just means, they're tools to help us on that path, on that journey. And really, throughout our entire Christian life, it's a never-ending journey. It's a continual journey in this life in the pursuit of Christ-likeness. One way of thinking about it may be a bad illustration, but I don't know if you've ever seen dog racing where they put this little rabbit on the thing and it runs around and the dogs just chase it. They never get it. That's almost kind of like chasing Christ-likeness in this life. We're never going to completely arrive in this here and now life, but it's a perpetual pursuit. It's a constant pursuit of, even as Paul says, I'm pressing on toward the mark. I'm reaching forward. And these things that we've been talking about are really just means or tools to help us in that pursuit. So reading the scriptures and prayer and fasting and worshiping together as the church, evangelizing, all these things are tools to help us become more like Christ. Tonight we're thinking about learning. And learning, Don Whitney in the book and I in the study tonight, we're using this in a little bit different way than learning scripture. Because we've already covered that in a sense toward the beginning when we were talking about Bible intake. And so Bible study, so here we're looking at another kind of learning that is to be a complement to an enhancement of our Bible reading and our Bible study. So this would be reading and using other tools to help us grow in our walk with Christ that can enhance our Bible reading, enhance our growth in the faith and our walk with the Lord. And so I just want to, kind of put that in our minds that we've already talked about Bible reading. Now we're talking about other resources that we can add to that to help us grow in the faith. And so in the opening of the chapter, he talks about the fact that learning is a characteristic of those who are wise. So someone who is seeking to be wise in the faith wants to grow in learning and values instruction. And so learning really is following in the footsteps of Jesus. This whole book is about becoming more like Jesus. Jesus was a learner. And sometimes we forget about that because when we think about the Lord Jesus, we think about his complete being as the God-man. And sometimes we think, well, he knew always knew everything. And Jesus never learned anything. But we have to, in our understanding of Christ and who he is, we have to also understand his full humanity. And that we have a verse like Luke 2:52 that says that Jesus grew in wisdom. So Jesus grew in wisdom. And in terms of his humanliness, Jesus increased in understanding and knowledge and in wisdom. In terms of his deity and his godness, that's impossible because God knows everything. But in terms of his human mind, Jesus grew in wisdom. And so we see Jesus learning. When he's 12 years old, we see a picture of him in the temple where he's asking and answering back and forth questions with the experts in the law in Jerusalem. And so there we even see at a young age his hunger and thirst for things of the knowledge of the Lord. And so we are to follow in those footsteps that Jesus gave us, that example of learning. Also, it's really a part of discipleship. Learning is a key part of the definition of what a disciple is. The word disciple, if you were to look it up in a dictionary, has the idea of really of two concepts. One of following, but the other main concept is learning. So you're following someone, you're going with someone in order to learn from them. And eventually, to basically pattern your life and your thoughts after that person. Someone who disciples another is almost like someone who mentors someone. You have a master and an apprentice. And so the idea is to try to reproduce in the one who's being discipled. And so that involves learning. So it's really a part of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Wisdom, which Proverbs talks a lot about, in Proverbs it talks about wisdom, and wisdom is characterized by humility, by teachableness, and a desire to grow in knowledge and understanding. And I just want to mention a couple of things in that statement. One is humility. Whenever you start learning and growing in learning, there's always the temptation to get lifted up in pride. In fact, Paul says in Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge can tend toward pride if we're not careful. In our flesh, in our natural state, knowledge tends toward pride. And so we need to be on guard against that and ask God for His grace to give us humility in our knowledge. I love the term sophomore because it really connotes this idea of a sophomore in Greek is a wise fool. That's what it means. Sophia is wisdom. Moros, moron, is a fool. So a sophomore is a wise fool. And the way I understand that is someone who thinks they know everything, but really they don't. And so there are times in our lives when we grow and we increase in knowledge and we think we have our minds wrapped around something, and that can tend towards pride, but we need to realize that there is so much more out there that we have no clue about, no concept of. I've used this illustration before, and I want to be careful in the way that I use it because I don't want it to come across as puffed up in any way, but I just share it as an illustration. But I've done doctoral work at Southern Seminary in Old Testament, and that was actually a very humbling experience for me because it was, you know, you would think working on a PhD would lift you up in pride. And what it did for me is it showed me all these areas of knowledge that I didn't even know existed before. It was like going into a PhD was like going into a room where there was 100 other doors that you didn't even know those doors existed. And so my knowledge increased, but it also showed me how much I didn't know. And so we need to have that kind of mindset whenever we're growing in learning, is that you never arrive. There's always more to learn. God is, and especially when we're comparing ourselves with God, God is infinite, and His knowledge is surpasses ours. But another important concept is teachableness. One of the things that characterizes pride in someone is that you can't teach them anything. They think they already have it. And the funny thing about this is that the ones who are younger, the ones who are more immature, sometimes tend to be less teachable, which is ironic because you're still young. You have so much more to learn. You have so much more to grow in, yet you think you've already arrived, and they develop this mindset of unteachableness, and It's hard to teach a person when they've reached that point. And so lack of teachableness and pride really go together. And so we need to humble ourselves and recognize that we need to learn more. There are times when we need to be corrected, when maybe we've learned something incorrectly, and our minds need to be reshaped on that idea. And every time that we go to the Scriptures, we need a humility of God, may your word change my thoughts about this if my thoughts are wrong. Martin Luther had a statement, and I'm going to butcher the quote, but essentially Martin Luther said, when you come to the Word of God and the Word of God impresses itself upon you and comes into your mind, it destroys and shatters everything. And this is a person who experienced that firsthand, because Martin Luther was a person who was brought up in the teaching and the training of the Roman Catholic Church. And by immersing himself in the Scriptures, he realized that he was wrong. And that takes a lot of humility and teachableness to come to the point of realization that the Word of God is right and you are wrong. And the willingness to change on that matter. And he was. He said, I'm going to change. My conscience has to submit to what the Scriptures say. And for us, it's really, really easy after a lifetime of sitting in church to think that we know it all. But we always, every time we listen to a sermon, every time we open the Bible, every time we read the Scriptures in our daily devotions, we need to be willing to allow the Scriptures to reshape our thinking on everything, because it's God's Word and it's higher than our thoughts. And so we need a teachableness, and we need that desire to grow in knowledge. And so it's part of wisdom, and it's really a lifelong discipline. Because we never arrive and have all the knowledge, we're always going to be pursuing, always seeking to better ourselves in that area. He talks about in the book that really learning is a part of fulfilling the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment? The two greatest commands are what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, right? With all your mind and with all your strength. And so part of loving God with your whole being involves also your mind that God has blessed you with, and learning things for the glory of God. And so God is glorified when we use the mind that He gave us to learn more about Him. So whenever we use the resources, the faculties, the talents, abilities that God has given to us, and we use it for His glory, that's good, and that's God honoring. Learning is a discipline that is countercultural in our age. And if you think about it, it's almost paradoxical, but I think that's true. In the book, he talks about the fact that we live in an age of incredible technology. And so in one sense, our information is expanding at infinite levels. But as a whole, as a society, we are receding in our ability to learn and develop our own intellect. And so what's happening is that information is increasing, but where is that information stored? Not in our minds, on a hard drive, on a server somewhere. And so we don't remember things, we don't learn things, we don't read things. If you want to know something, you just Google it, right? So you just Google it and go find it. And so we're not, and we live in this little soundbite culture where everything has to be in a sentence, or everything has to be in a Facebook post, everything has to be in a Twitter post that's 140 characters or less. And what that's doing to us, without us even really thinking about it, is it's taking away from us the ability for sustained thought and reflection, where you take a whole book and read through it and follow an argument. We're losing that ability because we're just getting sound bites. that are not necessarily connected in paragraphs and chapters and a logical argument. And so information and technology is increasing, but our ability to learn as a society is receding. And so learning really is countercultural to our age, to our society. But it's a part of loving God. And it is part of the path toward godliness. He makes a great point in the chapter when he says that we would not be Christians at all if it were not for learning. Because there's a sense in which at least a minimum understanding of words, concepts, is necessary to even be a Christian at all, right? Because how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing message. And hearing by what? Hearing by the Word of God, by the message of Christ. And so there's a preacher that comes and preaches the message, or someone reads the Scriptures. There is words going forth, either written or verbal, out loud. You hear those or you read those. You receive a message. You understand that message. The Holy Spirit opens your eyes to believe that message, and you follow the Lord in faith. You become a Christian. And so the gospel is a message. The gospel means good news. And so it's a report. It's news. It's information. Life-changing information. Universally changing information. But it's news. It's good news. And so we need to receive that even in order to become a Christian. And so logically then it makes sense that for us to grow in the faith, it also requires learning. So to come to the faith requires a minimum amount of learning, but then to grow and increase in that faith requires progress in that learning. And so we are a people of the book. We're a word-founded people, built on the Scriptures and built on learning the words of the Bible and other words to help us understand the Bible. And so the Christian life begins with knowledge, and it must continue in progress toward godliness with growth and knowledge applied. And so it's not just filling the head, but it's the knowledge coming into the mind and then affecting the heart and then being applied in our lives in practice. And so this is going to happen not by accident, but we have to have discipline for that. Not much learning is going to be gained just by accident or the normal course of life. So there has to be some purposefulness, some intentionality in learning, because you're not going to get it by osmosis, you know, just kind of absorbing it as you walk through the day. It's not going to happen that way. There has to be some intentionality. Growth in godliness requires discipline. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, train yourself, exercise yourself unto godliness. And so all of the growth in godliness takes discipline, and so do the individual practices, including learning. It takes discipline as well. And so we have to be intentional and systematic about it. So we talked about Bible intake several weeks back. Are we intentional and systematic in our Bible reading? We need to be as a people of God. But then I would also add to that, are we intentional and systematic about reading some other helpful materials to help us grow in our faith, to help us understand the message of the Bible, to help us piece together the various threads and themes in the Bible, in theology or doctrine, to help us take the Bible's message and apply it to different areas of our life, whether it be parenting or in our marital relationship or in the workplace, or whatever it is, you know, taking the Word of God and reading another helpful tool that takes the Word and applies it to that situation. So we need these kinds of things. And so what I'm advocating for is reading books in addition to the Bible that can help you in your faith. And we have to be intentional about that. We have to be purposeful about that. Now, reading isn't the only way. There are other ways that you can learn. So we have audiobooks. You can learn while driving down the road. So we have audiobooks. We have on either video or audio, you can listen to sermons that are teaching or preaching about the Bible. You have internet, TV, radio, where you can listen to sermons. You can listen to teaching about the scriptures. There's Bible study software that often comes with good tools or commentaries that can complement your study of the scriptures. There's classes or small groups where you can learn together as a class of people in the church. There's a purposeful conversation where you can get together with other believers or sisters in the Lord and not just talk about the weather or talk about football, but hey, let's ask some questions and try to figure out what the Word says about this matter and be intentional about having learning types of conversations. But I think reading is a primary way, one of the best ways to grow in our understanding. Before I go to the next slide, I want to make a very important comment about all these things. You got to be careful. You have to be careful. Because all these ways that I've mentioned, audiobooks, sermons, internet, reading, any of these, they're just different ways of getting information to you. And there's good information and there's bad information. And so we desperately need discernment as a church, as people of God. We live in a day where even Christian books that are published under Christian publishing houses, not all of them are worth reading. So we need to be careful about the kinds of things that we're training our minds with. If you have a question about something, if you come across a book and say, hey, I'm not sure about this, I'd be happy to look at it and I'll even read it with you or give you my opinion about it. But you have to be careful because there's so much out there. Like I said, we're inundated with information, but not all of it is good. And so you have to be discerning and careful about that. And here's the thing about it is it's a spiral effect. The more that you start reading good materials about the scriptures, the better it will train you to be discerning about other materials that you can use. And so it's a growth process in wisdom. And the more mature that you get, you can have the tools to be discerning yourself. But reading is a very, very important way to grow in our understanding and knowledge. But we don't live in a culture of reading, do we? We don't. So what are some of the obstacles to reading? I have some here that I'm going to put on the slide, but I'm going to ask you first. It's kind of like Family Feud, all right? So let's see how many of these you can get. How many obstacles to reading are there in our culture? Too busy? Okay. Okay. Time? It takes too long. Interruptions. Children, right? Yeah. People in general. Yeah. Technology. Yeah. Yeah. Technology and media. Just the attractiveness of that. It kind of, it's addictive. Yeah. Yeah. Being tired. Tell you what, reading sometimes is my sleeping pill. If I'm having a hard time, or, you know, if I start reading and I'm tired, I'll be gone like that. So yeah, tiredness, fatigue is a barrier sometimes to reading because it takes concentration. Yeah. Just a willingness, I want to do it. You got several of them that I listed up here. Just our entertainment culture that we live in, you know, TV, movies, media. Why is that appealing? Well, watching TV or watching a movie or surfing the internet, it's easy, right? It's easy. You don't have to think when you're watching television. It's just much easier to do that. And it's more fun. Can be more fun if you're watching something that you enjoy. So there's a great temptation there to just totally ignore books altogether and just, you know, watch things. Closely related to that is just technology and media, you know, texting, Twitter, Facebook, just surfing, you know, whatever. It's just always there. It's always attention grabbing. I just saw recently that there is a college. In fact, it's Liberty University. You've probably heard of that. It's a Christian university, but they're actually starting a program in digital wellness because of the ever increasing way that technology is actually ruining people's lives by people being addicted to technology. And by that, I'm not necessarily just talking about bad things. There's bad things on the internet that people are addicted to, pornography, things like that. But this is just talking about technology in general, playing games, surfing, whatever. It draws you in, and it's a very powerful effect. So that's an obstacle. It's an enemy that we face in our culture. Lack of time. You know, we're just busy, right? I'm going to give you this story because I thought this was great. But there is he teaches at Westminster Theological Seminary. He teaches New Testament. But he gave the story one time. You have time for what you want to do, and you can find time for reading. Even crazy times that no one would ever think about, you can find time for reading. And he gave the illustration that he actually did this. He took about an 800 or 900 page book on the resurrection of the Son of God. It's probably the definitive work on the proofs for the resurrection of Jesus. About 800 or 900 pages. He read it over the course of a year or so while he was brushing his teeth. There's always time for reading. And so, you know, you got a spare minute, you're going to the doctor's office, have a book with you. You're going to sit somewhere and wait, have a book with you. There's always time for reading if you want to do it. And so, but sometimes we use that as an excuse, but I think if we prioritize, we can find that time. Lack of ability. For some people, reading is hard, right? You know, if someone's totally illiterate, they just can't do it at all. You know, so that would be a barrier for that person. Just someone who maybe doesn't read well or reads slowly. Just hate it. It's not fun. Let me give you some encouragement. I'm a slow reader. I do not read fast. My mind wanders while I read. It takes me a while to get through something because my mind's here and there and everywhere. And I'll go through a page and I'll go back and say, what did I read? And I have to go back and reread that page. And so don't feel bad in that, but you just have to persevere through it. Taking notes if you need to, underlining, that helps keep you focused while you're reading. But I'm not a speed reader. But for some, you know, that's a big hindrance. Just lack of interest. You know, don't want to. Well, there are lots of things that maybe we don't want to do that are good for us. And maybe this is a bad analogy, but think of watching television or surfing the internet as eating chocolate and reading as eating salads. Okay? If you eat chocolate all the time, what's going to happen to your body? It's not going to be good for you. Okay, it's fun, right? It's fun to eat chocolate, but it's not good for your body on the whole. And so I'm not saying you can never watch TV, but treat it like dessert instead of all that you do. Whereas reading is healthy for your mind, like salad is healthy for your body. And so maybe people don't like salad either, but you know that vegetables are good for your body. And if you start the process, you can develop more of an enjoyment for it. And I think sometimes people don't like reading. He talked about this in the book, but sometimes people don't like reading because they associate reading with school, with reading a science textbook or something like that. And he says to help us in the path toward reading, read something that's fun. Find something that you like, something that you enjoy And if you like sports, read a sports book. If you like cars, read a book about cars. But start there so that you can start developing, you know, more of a like and enjoyment of reading. And then from there, you know, build and move toward more things that are closely related to the Word of God and that can help you grow in godliness. Tiredness, we talked about that. So find good times, you know, that where you're more at your peak, where you can read. One thing that I think is an obstacle in our day, and I kind of mentioned this before, but there's just sometimes there's too many choices. What do I pick? And out of all those choices, there's a lot of bad ones. And so we only have so much time in our lives. Don't feel like you have to read everything. Be very picky about what you read. Be selective. And I can, you know, if you're interested, say, if you have a question, say, I want to read something about Jesus, the person of Jesus, or I want to read about a book about the Holy Spirit. Let me know, and I can give you a recommendation on a bunch of different topics. But so sometimes it's hard just because it's overwhelming. There are literally thousands of books published every day. So how do you sort through all that? It's hard. And so sometimes that can be an obstacle. But I think there are ways over all these obstacles. But part of it is having a desire to grow in our knowledge, having the discipline to set up a plan and to work toward the accomplishment of that plan. And so my prayer as a church is that we will continue to grow in our knowledge, but not knowledge that puffs up, not knowledge that makes us proud, not knowledge that just stays in our heads, but knowledge of God that leads to a love of God, that leads to living for God in the world. Do y'all have any other thoughts, any questions, maybe something that I said that you have a question about or something I forgot to say that maybe you were thinking about? Either I said it all or you're just ready to go eat. Well, thank you for coming tonight. And we got one more chapter. And really, it's just kind of a way of kind of wrapping everything up and helping us to think about ways of persevering in these practices and these disciplines. And it'll probably be a couple weeks before we do that one because we're not having church next Wednesday night. And I think the Wednesday night after that, I'm going to be, can't remember. Anyway, it'll be at least a couple weeks before we do that one. So, but thank you for being with us through this study, and I hope it's been profitable to you, and we'll finish it up, the last chapter, next time that we meet, which is, I think, in 2 weeks. So let's pray together, and we'll ask the Lord's blessings as we go. Father, we give you praise and thanks for loving us and for giving us mercy and grace that we do not deserve. Lord, we thank you that you have made us in your image. And a part of making us in your image is so that we will be your representatives in the world, caring for the world, ruling over the world under your authority. And Lord, in order to fulfill that purpose, you gave us many abilities. And one of those abilities is the ability to think, to learn, and to grow in wisdom and understanding. And so, Lord, help us to make full use of our potential to learn, not for ourselves, not for our own benefit, not for our own glory, but, Lord, ultimately so that we might bring honor to you as we seek to be more like you. And so, Lord, help us in that endeavor. Help us to grow as a church in knowledge so that we might love you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.